And this is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. President Joe Biden last night addressed the nation with an update on where we are in the pandemic and the rollout of vaccinations. And he did so by saying, "I need you, all of you." The plea is a call to action for everyone to get vaccinated and to help those who might need assistance in arranging and getting a vaccination. Absent that, there is the potential for a rollback of COVID restrictions. The national address came on the same day he signed a $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief and stimulus package that my guest has called one of the most impactful pieces of legislation in the history of the nation. Representative Debbie Dingell's 12th Congressional District covers portions of Washtenaw County, and she checks in this morning from her hometown of Dearborn. Thank you so much for joining us, Mrs. Dingell.
David, it is good to be with you after a long week in Washington where we actually got something done.
With that in mind, what brought you to the conclusion that this ranks so high on the list of congressionally passed legislation in our 245-year history?
This bill, the American Rescue Act, has money that's going to do a lot for many people. The fact of the matter is, there are a lot of people, David, we talk about it every week. I come home every week. And our restaurants have been worried. Our small businesses have been worried. Parents have been worried about their children, the education, the lost year. This bill is going to put vaccines in arms. And you heard the president talk last night that by May 1, he hopes all adults will have access to the vaccine, and he's going to have a nationwide system that's going to make it easy for you to find out how to get your vaccine. And the bill that we passed put more money in so that we are producing more, and we're going to get it out, and we're going to get it into areas that are having a hard time getting it.
Beyond the vaccines, I know you had a personal laundry list of items you wanted included in the package. What are the other highlights in your view?
Well, I mean, there's money for schools. We're going to be able to get these schools back open, and that needs to happen. People who needed money in their pockets, they're getting an additional $1,400 payment that will help tide them over. There's an expanded child tax credit to help parents with children. Child care is a real problem, and it's women that have been we've had 10 million jobs lost, but most of those jobs have been jobs that have been held by women. We want to put people back in jobs. So those are just some. We needed to get help to state and local government. We needed to get money to the small businesses, into the restaurants. We needed to help the fire and police. There are so many. We needed to make sure people weren't going to be kicked out of their homes. We extend the moratorium on being evicted. We help students with their student loans, or adults who have student loans to pay back. There are many things in there that are going to help a lot of people.
As much as it will help, this is not a be-all, end-all solution. The work that lay ahead on any number of issues is daunting, and now we have a ballooning national debt to contend with on top of it. And let's be honest, while you and your fellow Democrats celebrate today, there wasn't one Republican in either the House or Senate that voted in favor of this measure. Polarization is alive and well. And don't you think, moving forward from here, the Biden administration and the Democrat agenda is going to face a long, hard road?
I get up every day and know it's going to be hard. I am somebody that talks to Republicans every single day. I spend time on the Republican side of the House floor as often as I can. I introduced several bills this week that matter just for long-term care that Fred Upton was a co-sponsor with me on. I will get bills through. They're going to help seniors. They're going to help people long-term care. I think I'll get Republicans on the bill that I'm introducing today. I'm building out the electric vehicle infrastructure. Well, you can't just say, people don't get along, it's too hard. You say, how do we find common ground? How do we do it together? So I'm not giving up on bipartisanship. I think it's more important than ever.
We're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU as we move our conversation from politics and policy. We'd like to talk about a divided Congress and nation, as you have touched upon. President Biden's address last night, what was your overall impression?
You know, I was on the plane, so I missed the original delivery. But no, I did. I watched it, and then I read the words again this morning. it quite frankly made me want to cry. It is a man who has experienced loss, who understands the collective loss we have felt as a nation in the last year. And I think he tried to reach out to people, show the empathy that so many of us feel, the understanding of what we've lost and not being able to be with families, children not being able to be in school, the friends we've lost, the colleagues we've lost, the family we've lost, more than half a million people dying. But he gave us hope. He said, by May 1, every adult should have access to the vaccination. By the 4th of July, we won't be able to be at big parties, but we can have little parties.
Yeah, it's no accident that Independence Day is the date that he set as a goal. When he said, I need you, to the entirety of the nation, it referred directly to the need for everyone to participate in getting vaccinated.
Correct.
But I think he also made it clear it was a call for unity on that specific issue, but perhaps more broadly, too. So does it change any hearts and minds, in your opinion?
You know, I talked to several people last night who said that they cried when they listened to the speech, which is why I was bound to determine to find them speaking, because one of them is a hardcore Republican. I think people are happy that they're seeing the fact that they can get a vaccine. And, you know, I want to say something to those that are listening. President Trump lacked that empathy sometimes, but he did start a program that got a vaccine developed in record time. And so what we're seeing now built on that investment in the vaccine program. You know, there's an ad out now that I think is a very powerful ad that has Republicans and Democratic presidents showing them getting the vaccine and talking about the importance of the vaccine. I wish Donald Trump had been willing to get vaccinated in public and could be part of that ad. But I think he called for, he showed that picture of unity, and I'm hoping that even that ad that I just talked to is part of saying to each other, we're in this together. You can't say, hey, we're all in the same boat, but your end of the boat is sinking. We all got to help each other. And that's part of the message right now.
While we're on the subject of President Biden, he is now more than 50 days into his presidency and has yet to hold a press conference in which he accepts questions from reporters. This is the longest period of time for a president to go without a question and answer session in over 100 years in this country. It not only creates fodder for Republican gossip about his mental acuity, it's creating questions and frustration and concern among even the most liberal of media. Have you any insight into the White House decisions to keep President Biden away from reporters?
I don't. I've had no discussion with anybody in the White House. I'd make two observations. I know the White House is being very COVID careful. And two, my grapevine says that they are planning on doing it very soon. So I hope that that is the case.
Once again, our conversation with Michigan's 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU. Clearly, the pandemic is going to have a long tail. We'll be dealing with some aspects of this for quite some time yet. While we see light at the end of the tunnel and a path forward, we are not out of the woods just yet. Is it fair to say the relief package signed by the president yesterday will be the last such package?
Well, I've already been speaking to groups who have said to me this week, what about the next? I think it will be the last major COVID relief package of this nature. But, you know, many things have been impacted by COVID. The economy's been deeply impacted. And I will also say that it has shined a light on real fractures in our society, in our country. As an example, broadband. We need to give, everybody in America needs to have access to broadband. The next bill we're already working on is an infrastructure bill. And if you're in Michigan, it's not only about fixing the dam roads and the bridges, but we need to replace pipes, water pipes, and broken sewer infrastructure that has lead in it, etc. That will be part of it. We need to fix our schools. That will be part of it. And expanding broadband so that both rural and urban areas have access, so we have a quality on broadband. So I actually would say the need to, we've been talking about this for a long time, but I think the past year has showed that this must get done, and I think that's the next piece of legislation you will see move very quickly.
There are some other things that need to move forward as well. police reform legislation remains under consideration and work is ongoing. The ongoing search for racial equity and justice continues. So when you go back to Washington, what will be done on that front?
Well, we've already passed those two bills. Last week, we passed the George Floyd bill, and we are going to continue to work on...
That's just the House, though.
That's just the House.
Right, so there is plenty of work to be done.
So, that's true. I'm just a House member, so that's where I focus and work to get stuff done. The Senate is working on it. I know that there are people trying to find a bipartisan compromise. People will stay focused on that. But there are many other things that need to be done. You know, we need to look at bringing our manufacturing back to this country so we're not as dependent on China and India as we were. 90% of our generic drugs are made overseas. We have another pandemic. Do we want to be dependent on those countries? Or do we want to have this supply? Do we want to be making that supply of drugs and PPE equipment here? That's one of the important things. How do we bring more manufacturing back? I mean, I'm focused on a lot of those issues as well, David.
And that gives us an impetus for future conversations, and I will look forward to those. Thank you so much for the time today.
David, thank you. Have a good day and a good weekend.
That is 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.